Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor specialist Phil and intern are back. Alexa still on hiatus due to the MLB playoffs. And Bradley is sitting really close to me right now. But that's who we're live with. It's Bradley.
Klegu.
Precisely intern.
Clyhe. There we go. It's Bradley Clyhe. Clyhe. It's Bradley Clyhe. We're live with Ghost Islander Bradley Clyhe, who is the reason for the delay because he was putting in his power rankings. And how are you feeling about that?
I'm feeling very confident. I forgot somebody.
He did.
But
he had written Vince's name down as one of the people.
No. Vince was on Who's Left in the Game. Vince was never on the power rankings.
But he was still on Who Was Left in the Game. And Vince is not still in the game.
If this was an Excel spreadsheet, Vince would be negative.
Well, here we go. We're ready to get this going. Bradley, what are you thinking about Island of the Idols thus far?
I think it's great so far. Yeah, it's the theme is absolutely hilarious. What could be better than Sander teaching people how to crawl and hide behind palm fronds? It's good.
Yeah, you were the only person, I think, in the entire world who actually enjoyed Island of the Idols last week.
It was great. I was texting you during the whole thing. Like, this is too good.
Yeah. And everybody else in the world is cringing. What did you think of that, intern?
I thought it was super funny. I mean, I definitely don't want this every week, but like, you know, given the one episode, like, I'll take it.
I didn't know we had an intern speaking role nowadays.
I got yelled at on Reddit for calling him intern, so now I have to.
Yeah. I had to save Phil.
That's
make sure people know it's like an actual friendship and not just like a one-sided abusive relationship.
RB wants to know who the new cutie is, and that is definitely me.
It's definitely you. It's definitely you. No, this is kind of a one-sided abusive relationship, though, intern. Like, let's be real.
That's okay. I get paid a little bit, so, you know.
Well, going into the power rankings here, which is obviously what we're all here for, Carl did terrible last week. So Carl last year was absolutely phenomenal. He had Rick Devens in the last spot before Rick Devens actually went home. This time he put Vince in spot number 4, which is about as bad as it gets. It doesn't get any worse than putting Vince in spot number 4. I think he actually had the worst performance of the week last week, aside from Alyssa Feller, who was actually in first place going into the week, but she had Vince in third, so she's no longer in first place. So that's the fun. So Bradley's got to dig Team Survivor out of a hole here. The Eliminator game, you're still alive because he had taken Chelsea last week, which Chelsea is always a hot topic of debate on this podcast because I keep getting crapped on for putting her at number one. And
you keep putting her at number one, Phil?
I do keep putting her at number one.
It's really weird to look at the camera here, but you're sitting
right. I know, it's very awkward. Fantastic. We wanted to do it. We were looking across from each other, but Bradley didn't like the backdrop, so now we're sitting right next to each other.
Sit over there. If you would get the window out of your view, then your camera wouldn't look so bad. You just blend in. You look like this, like, just kind of.
Like, I'm sure. Yeah, it's like intern. You got to carry like the podcast while I move.
No, you got to go all the way.
Yeah, that's actually worse. You got to keep going.
I'm going. I'm going.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. How are we feeling now?
You got to get it out of your screen. Keep rotating.
I'm still rotating. How are we feeling?
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Better.
All right, we're good.
Live adjustments, people.
Live adjustments. All right, Bradley, give me some hot takes
okay
here.
In the chat, we're sharing one microphone.
Yeah.
That's a question that can be asked. We need to continue speaking. Bradley.
Yeah, okay. What do you want to talk about? I've got my rankings. I've been thinking about these rankings all week.
All week, really.
I watched Bradley fill them out. That's why we were late. It wasn't just that he had forgotten Elizabeth. It was that he had also forgotten in general that he was doing power rankings today. So, you know, it is what it is. Yep. All right, Bradley, why don't you tell us who your number one is, since everybody knows.
No, we start from the bottom and go up.
No.
No, we go top and go down.
Yeah.
Really?
Everybody wants to know who we think is going to go home. They don't give a crap about the beginning.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, so I have Chelsea at number one again. she's my winner's pick, so I'm, you know, not gonna not pick that. But I think she did a really good job orchestrating the vote, and I think they played their hands well. And I think even though I've seen online and on Reddit that a lot of people have been giving the girls shit for not keeping Vince, but they didn't need Vince for a number, and Vince was annoying. So, adios.
Yeah, I think that we talked a lot about this move to get rid of Vince last week and how it works out, because it keeps everybody happy. Aaron and Dean are no longer stressed. Intern is now sitting in the role of Alexa, where he gets ambulances driving by his house. But now Aaron and Dean both think that they're fine because of the way that this just happened. And when you're going into some sort of swap, it seems like everybody was unified in voting out Vince. So you've kind of done some damage control, even though it's not really the truth at all. Vince, I mean, the girls still seem like they're ready to get rid of Aaron, get rid of Dean really whenever they want, unless Dean and Chelsea start dating, which maybe we shouldn't put Dean at number one because of the showmance. But,
well, we don't have Dean at number one.
Oh, Chelsea at number one. My bad.
Yeah.
I mean, if one of them ends up going home from the showmance, it doesn't seem, based on the edit or how either of them are being portrayed, that it would be Chelsea.
I'd be really surprised if it ended up being Chelsea who goes home because of this. I mean, it was like the Figgy and Taylor thing. It would have been surprising if it was Taylor.
Yeah, like, I still think, though, that, like, getting into a showman, it's like it puts a target on your back, right?
Yeah, it's not a good idea.
Definitely not a good idea.
That's a steaming hot take right there from Bradley. It's not a good idea. You even said it with, like, the conviction of Adam Klein when he screams, getting in a showman, while, like, the wind is blowing on him. Remember that? That's a great confessional.
No, I don't remember that.
Me neither. No idea.
Wow. Okay. Well, anyway, I have a Adam Klein highlight reel that plays all the time. So I guess you guys, I'll send it to you so that you guys can know what to talk about.
Do you wake up to that? It's like your morning alarm.
It's my morning alarm. Getting in a showman, it just screams in my ear over and over again.
Kind of wild.
I'm a big fan.
Well, okay. Who do you have interviewed?
I do not have Chelsea at number one because of the showman. I'm putting the boy Tommy back up at the top. So. He always seems to get like the confessional that's like, here's why I want to do what I want to do. But he's gotten that every time, like every episode. So he's probably doing something well if we're getting his opinion. So number one, he goes.
You think it's meaningless. All right. Elaborate.
I think he's had really great confessionals about strategy and everything, but I don't know if they've actually had, at this point, hinged on the outcome of what actually happens. He just seems level-headed. So I agree. I mean, I don't think putting him at number one is a bad idea because of that, but he doesn't exactly seem like a strategic genius. He's just kind of like puking strategic talk, even if it doesn't actually mean anything.
See, that's why I think that it's a good thing, though, because that was like Michelle in Korong. She literally just puked whatever they could out at the camera, and none of it really ever ended up meaning anything, but she won.
Yeah, maybe he wins.
Maybe he wins. That's what a lot of people are feeling. Right now.
You know that, Phil, that's a really good idea.
Why is he more fit? That's not fair. That's not, I'm the most fit. Bradley says he's going on the Phil diet so he can look as good as me. That's what he tells me all the time.
What's the Phil diet?
20-mile running week in years this week.
You hear that? 20 miles Bradley ran this week.
That's why I ran 2 miles
pretty good for
this week. 2 miles is pretty good, right?
That's pretty far.
Two?
Yeah.
You're still young enough you can eat like shit and have abs. Enjoy that.
Yeah, we're 30.
How old are you?
I'm old enough. We're almost 30.
You guys are like 35, right?
Yeah.
Both of you?
He just looks like he's 40.
That's it.
Okay, so in number two, I've got Kelly. So I think Kelly's in a good spot. She's got the idol. And this person is just heckling me in the group
chat. Yeah, it's amazing. I love it.
You put a sticky note over the group chat.
Bradley is distracted by the group chat. Can somebody please stop?
I think Kelly's in a good spot. I think you know, she was able to navigate where she was creeped up by Dan in a way that got people on her side advocating for her, which was good. She was able to go to Island of the Idols, get an idol, come back, not get voted out. So I think she's in a really solid spot.
Yeah, and she has her idol for 2 more tribal councils.
Yeah, was hers good for 3?
Hers was good for 3, yeah. So she's got it for 2 more. I don't think that she misplays it. I don't think she's on anybody's radar. On this tribe, there's just so many people that you should be looking to vote out rather than Kelly. We have Nora, we have Jason, we have Dan, we have Jamal. That's 4 people that should go before Kelly, and Kelly's sitting there with an idol. I don't think she's ever even going to need to play this idol. My number 2 is Tommy. My number 3 is Kelly. So I fall in line with what you guys are thinking, but I'm not going to put Chelsea at number 1 just because I'm being bullied by other people. You know?
Yeah. My number two is also Kelly. She's not a threat, and even if she was, like, her idol, she's going to be able to use in the next 2 tribals if she has to use it. So, like, she'll be fine.
She seems like she's in the know, which is important. And
she's,
I think,
like,
that –
she's like many layers of protection, right? Like not being the threat, and if she was the threat, like an idol that is going to expire anyways, so she might as well use it.
And somebody's going to tell her. I feel like Nora is going to be one of those people who Nora could end up, you know, finding out that she's going to be safe at a tribal council, and then she just turns around and says, you know, you're going to go home tonight, and says it to the person, and then Nora ends up going home that night, and like, I just think Nora's going to blab at some point and ruin her own game and save somebody else.
Nora is amazing. Nora is a gift to Survivor. she's so good.
Is that your number?
No. Okay, good. No, she's so great. She's fucking nuts. Are we allowed to say that on this podcast?
I mean, no, but I'm not editing it out.
Okay. You mentioned that part where she like wants to dance. It's great. How do you not keep her the whole time? Just keep that crazy train rolling all the way to day 39 and then give her no votes, even though I'd probably vote for her. It's for teaching being nuts to get to the end.
You didn't have a psycho on your season, did you?
Yeah, and I went home pre-merge.
Yeah, that's true.
I needed a hot mom and a psycho, and I could have won.
You could have won. Look at what Tommy's doing. I mean, Bradley, you need to
that's it.
Tommy's gameplay here. He's playing the exact game you always said you wanted to play.
It is true. Wait, who's he aligned with?
Janet.
Yeah, I like Janet.
Yeah, I know.
Great. She's all leathery.
Bradley has some Survivor jealousy.
Maybe. That's what you were missing on your season. Your whole cast was too young. You needed to find that older lady.
The part I was missing was that I was older than the average age of the show, which is no good.
Yeah. Do you agree with that statement? Chris Noble was a psycho on Bradley's season?
Is that really popping up on the thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah, it's either Chris Noble or it's Angela.
Someone type a bigger one so it blocks Bradley's face.
Yes, somebody type up a big one. We can get rid of Bradley altogether.
Yeah,
of course.
We could just get rid of Phil because your camera quality is so poor over there in that corner.
My camera quality is fantastic. I just happened to wear a shirt. I thought that we were going to some fancy place. I thought I'd have like black walls or something. I wore a shirt that's the exact same color.
No.
Okay.
No, I wear this festive shirt for the viewers.
Yeah, well, good for the viewers.
No, I love Nora. I should have put her up there.
I can't wait to find out where you actually have Nora, where you have all these people, because right now your takes aren't hot. Chelsea at one, Kelly at two.
Yeah, these are pretty normal. Yeah, look at us agreeing with each other.
Just call me Bradley Romney.
What's your number three?
My number three is Missy. I think she, along with Chelsea, is doing a great job. I think the two of them are in charge. Happy Canadian Thanksgiving. This group chat is so random right now.
Yeah, dude.
Happy Canadian Thanksgiving.
At any rate, I think Missy's doing a great job. I think it was good to see Missy and Chelsea strategizing about what they wanted to do collectively. She's also had a number of really good confessionals where it seems like she has a great take on the game. So I think she's in a good spot.
Yeah, I have Missy at number four. So we're just going in line, except I had Tommy like up above. You haven't put Tommy in there yet, but like, I think Missy's in a really good spot. And I do a Patreon only podcast with Will, and he keeps claiming that he doesn't think Missy or has a chance at all to win this game. And like everything I've seen this season, I feel like Missy could win this game. Am I delusional? Like, you believe that too?
No, I believe it. I believe it.
No, it makes perfect sense. I think it's great. Although I have to say, I feel like Will should be the free podcast, and you should save the better guests for the Patreon.
I kind of agree with that. You know, we got to ease Will back into it. There's some people who don't realize that Will was the original Survivor specialist with me.
He was before he was supposed to go play Survivor.
Yeah, exactly. Before he became
it would have been a disaster if you put that kid on Survivor.
You would have loved it though.
Okay, so in number four I have Lauren.
Okay, don't worry about it. Number three. We'll just do go ahead, Bradley. Why don't you just take over the show?
Yeah, Survivor specialists Bradley and Bradley, right?
All right, Bradley, why do you like Lauren at number four?
Wait, are we not going to say what the intern picked? I thought you already rambled off like 10 people.
No, we can have you do four and then we'll have intern do three, because we already know you said Lauren, but why are you feeling Lauren?
I'm feeling Lauren because I think she's also in the ends with Kelly. So that's kind of, I think Chelsea and Missy are together on Lyro. And then I think you've got Kelly and Lauren together on Vokai. And I think they're in a powerful spot. This appears to be the season of the ladies. And so I think she's playing well. I think she's navigated this well. I think she's benefiting from Nora being kind of crazy, and Jason's kind of crazy too, in a different way. But so she just seems like she's running right through the middle of the pack. She kind of picked which side to go with, and that's a good spot to be in Survivor.
Yeah, I agree. I think those are the alliances. Those are the people who are running. And then the only other one I would say is probably Tommy and Janet. Are probably competing with Kelly and Lauren over there to actually run that tribe.
Yeah.
So I think that Tommy, we've seen like go and make amends with Jack and try to talk to Jamal. Kelly and Lauren, we didn't really see that last week, which was interesting. We didn't see them going and trying to patch anything up after they both had really good episodes the previous 2 weeks. But I mean, I can't really argue with Lauren being there. I put her at five. So again, I'm literally just one
and
off from
Janet and Tommy in the next two.
Oh, well, Janet's my six, so we're just cruising along. Intern, catch up.
All right, I'm gonna biggest comeback of the podcast. Number three, I have Jack. It seems like he's distanced himself from Jamal enough to like, you know, he seemed like he was like, oh yeah, you guys got me, like, and was able to move on. That's what everyone says, Bradley. It's not that's not the reason. Nora also lives by me, so that's kind of cool.
She's single.
For Nora?
Yeah.
Isn't she like 36?
Oh, okay. So now we're being ageist on this podcast?
Hey, you don't even know how young I am.
Yeah.
Phil.
Yeah, you're like 20 or 18.
Ooh.
I'm thinking.
The world might never know. I'm 23, by the way.
The whole stream just cut out. That was awesome. We're going to the bar.
Oh, wow. Okay. Number four. Anyways, number four, I have Chelsea for, you know, everything we've said earlier. I didn't put her higher because the showmans concerns me a little bit. And then number five, I have Elaine.
It seems pretty bold doing the spooning with the arm over per the preview when you don't have a blanket or something. I mean, that's just putting it right out there.
Who was spooning with the arm over?
Dean and Chelsea.
That's ballsy.
I mean, usually you're like plastered together because it's cold, but the arm is when you're like aligned.
Wow. Yeah. who are you putting your arm over?
No one.
That speaks a lot to your game there. Anyway, all right, a lane at five. You're the first person to drop a lane. Where's a lane been the last 2 weeks?
Not getting voted out, I guess. I mean, she had that good first episode, and I think she's just like in the shadows now. You know?
Yeah. She's been trying.
I think they won it, didn't they?
Did they win the cumin?
Is that the tribe that won the spices?
I don't know.
On, we're the survivor specialists.
Come on,
we don't
group chat. Are you good for anything?
Ripping you apart.
Yep.
Poor.
That's
you. All right. So give me the order here, Tommy and Janet. You go five Tommy or five Janet?
Five Janet, six Tommy.
Five Janet, six Tommy. All right. Let's hear your take.
I mean, I think the take is similar to my first four in that they're the other twosome unit that seems to be in a great place. On the up and up, with people following. So I think they're in a good spot. Having a twosome in the game is good. You just have to be careful that you don't showmance with your twosome because they get bad. I think they're in a strong position. I think Janet, is maybe in a slightly less strong position out of the two of them, even if I have her ranked a little bit higher. I think there's still enough older people left that Janet is in a good spot, but where I think Tommy might excel is that he's aligning with some of the older people, but then you also see him talking to Jack and some of the younger people as well.
Yeah, it seems like Tommy is the glue that's holding the entire tribe together, but Janet looks like his number one, which is weird. And it's also weird how, like, I don't know whether to look at you here or, like, I see you looking at me here. It's very uncomfortable. But it seems like Tommy is holding it together. And, like, for longevity, in terms of who could actually win the game, I think Tommy has a better chance to win than Janet does. But I do think that Janet has put herself in a good position. I mean, we didn't really see any negative backlash last week after she was bad in the diving down part to get the – to undo the buoy.
Was she bad, though? She went against an Olympic swimmer.
Well, no, she was great in the swimming. No, I defended her so hard in the swimming. What I'm saying is when she dove down to get it, it took her like four or five dives before she actually got it. She had to put the mask on. It took a while, and they couldn't figure out what happened, but nobody seemed mad at her for that. Everybody seemed completely content, and they go on to win the challenge anyway, so it's a move.
She's going against an Olympic swimmer, so maybe everyone was like, yeah, you are going to be slow.
I mean, maybe.
I mean,
if you win the challenge, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Do your part.
That's it. So I have her at six. I think she's in a great spot. And I know we had Vaughn on to do the recap instead of intern. Intern, you were dearly missed. But Vaughn said that he thinks that none of the old Dan, Tom, Janet are going to make it to, like, the final 10. And I just thought that was a crazy take.
Is James still watching? Because we could ask him about how hard diving.
We could. I don't know if James was ever watching. He just saw the Instagram story, you know.
Mm. Mm. I thought he was one of the people watching the live.
No, I could ask him though.
No. Okay, in seven, I have Elaine. So we already kind of brought her up.
Yeah.
I think she's in an okay spot. She's one of those people that if you can make it, let's say the first two tribal councils, then I think you're probably good for a while. I think on Survivor, you can't underestimate how nice it is to be around people that are entertaining and fun to hang out with, because Survivor is profoundly boring and there's a lot of downtime. And so if Elaine is funny, if she brings an interesting perspective, why not keep her for a little while?
Yeah, I think that she's probably fine. I have her a little bit lower. Intern, who's your six and seven now that Bradley has gone to seven?
Yeah, six. I have Missy, you know. I think we all agree that Missy's doing pretty well and has a good shot to win. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll agree. I don't know. And then seven, I have Elizabeth. I know that she was kind of a train wreck in the first episode, but she seemed to be like cohesive last episode and like won a challenge. So good improvement, Elizabeth.
Yeah. And it seems like too, like she's over there talking to Tom, wanting to work together with Tom. And she's kind of keeping him in the loop. So I liked the way that that was edited for her. I have her at number 8. I thought she had a terrible first episode, like one of like the worst lies ever. It was so blatant. Seems like they're being told to lie, but even if you're being told to lie, be better at lying. Don't be so bad at it.
Well, I think where she probably got into trouble is she hasn't seen any episodes or any seasons before Ghost Island.
Yeah.
It seemed like she had watched Ghost Island and maybe she's watched, you know, 37 and 38, but she definitely watched Ghost Island probably the couple weeks before she went out, because why would it be called Islands of the Idol or Island of the Idols?
That's
if
better.
It was Ghost Island, it would just be Ghost Island 2.
Yeah.
So you can't come back and say you're going to smash urns. That's not a good lie whatsoever. I agree with you guys.
Yeah, it was
terrible. I had her at 8.
You have a great. So
we have everybody kind of roughly in the same spot.
Yeah, this is weird. Because I have Elaine at 9. I have Elizabeth at 8, Elaine at 9. But my number 7 is somebody who's different. So finally, we can actually maybe talk about something.
Who do you have at 7?
I have Jason at 7. Anything? No? Okay, so we don't have anything.
Jason,
sure.
Jason at 7.
This is why you're the best one.
No, I need the picture up, but I had to take it down so I could have this chat thing up.
You should probably put the picture back up so you don't look at the chat.
Yeah, because they're not being nice.
Here you go. How do you think you would do on this season? That's from Sean Cooler.
That's neutral.
Wait, there was a good one earlier. Here we go. Monsieur Tyrell. 2 Bradley podcasts in a week.
Here we go. You're welcome. Giving the people what they want.
But yeah, I like Jason's shot in this game a lot. I think he's got a brilliant shield in Nora, who is always going to be end up going home first because she's just going to frustrate people. See, Bradley's disagreeing, but I've seen
Here's where I think I'm going to agree and disagree with you. I think in a first time player season, someone like Nora may have a very good chance of going home before someone like Jason. You play with people that are playing smart and not playing just like a frat house or like just a club, you definitely send Nora home first, but they should be keeping her all the way to the end. No one's going to want her to win. Where Jason seems like he could possibly still get votes, Nora's already not going to win. And so you just need to put up with her being annoying and you can make it really far.
But we've seen people not be able to do that. We saw Natalie Cole go home.
True. Where I think Natalie was stirring the pot more, I think Nora's just crazy. I don't think there's anything strategic about her.
Mm-hmm. She's Debbie. I mean, that's what I just keep saying. She's just Debbie.
That's why I love her.
Yeah, but I do think that eventually they end up getting rid of her because she tries to overplay in some way. But I just think Jason's in a really good spot because he's got her. He's got Jamal. He's rebounded from that early mistake in his game, which was going and looking for the idol so quickly. And I'm not saying he's going to nick his way all the way to the end where he ends up winning the game. But I do think that he has the potential to go very far and that he's getting this underdog, comes back from nothing. Like, there was no reason to really tell us how much of an outsider he was on day one if it's never even coming up, if everything since then is really focused on Nora and things like that. And he even had the confessional in episode 3 to start it off. You know, Molly went home, which means I'm still here. Like, we're getting it's just being leaned into so hard that I feel like he's definitely going deep merge. So I like where he's at right now. And while there's other people who might think that he's one of like the early targets on that Vokai tribe, I just don't see it.
I mean, I just think that he's like, he's making his journey out of the bushes, but he's not all the way out yet.
I like that.
Wow. That was a good attempt at a Survivor confessional.
Yeah. Got to practice.
There you go.
You don't take shit from Bradley, okay?
Intern, big intern.
Intern and Bradley. I once went to the beach and saw Intern and Bradley play against each other in a sport, and it was one of the most embarrassing things for both of them. But I got pure joy out of it. It was great.
It was embarrassing for Intern.
No,
lost so bad.
Whoa! It was embarrassing for both of us, Bradley. Don't push this onto me.
I just like so that feud has never died. I don't think.
Sure, Intern, you lost every single spike.
Yeah, but I lost with pride, and that's what matters. You were complaining the whole time.
That's his thing.
Would you expect anything less? Nobody
would. Would you expect anything less from me? I had a great time.
See, I thought you were smart.
And if anybody was wondering, Bradley was drinking Smirnoff Ices. Voluntarily. He brought
them. I hadn't discovered hard seltzer yet, so now I'm a hardcore White Claw fan.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to throw that out there. So if anybody was wondering why Bradley has so much animosity towards Intern here.
Well, it's because we played one round of Spikeball together and Bradley hated it for some reason.
I think it was 21-3 was the final score of that
it
game.
It was 21-3, yeah.
I needed someone to carry us over to the finish and not up for the job.
It was not.
Okay, what number are we at?
Well, intern's up to number 8, so let's hear his number 8.
Number 8, oh, I have to count. I'm misnumbered. Oh, I have Janet.
Janet.
Janet. Okay. Janet. Can swim well, doing fine. I don't know.
She's going to set the stage. I really do believe she's about to set the stage for a whole new era of, like, older female players. Because I really think she's about to. Because I think they're going to start taking more chances on women who are that old. Because, you know,
here's the deal, though. When do the old women not play, like, not pan out as casting?
Well, choices? No, and that's...
The old people are fucking great on Survivor.
That's twice. That's twice.
I think it's 3. Island was so shitty. It's just that, like, everyone is a child.
Yeah.
You need older people.
No.
And that's, I think it makes more interesting TV. I think it makes for better strategy. I certainly would have done better if I could have played with some older people. It just, all around, my opinion is old people need to be on Survivor.
I completely agree. And I always get shit for defending, like, the Dan Barrys and the Gary Hogabooms, but I want them on every season. And, like, Tom Laidlaw on this season, I'm totally fine with, because I want that perspective. I want the older perspective that's playing a completely different game than what everybody else is playing. I want to see the reserved, quiet, old man who's just trying to play like the father figure and be nice to everybody, and that's the way he thinks he can win the game. But he's actually old, and Janet is actually old. Like, we've been told Julie Rosenberg is old. If you meet Julie Rosenberg, you know she's not old. Her kids are young. Julie is fit as anything. She could beat the crap out of me or Bradley or intern. Like, she's just like... She's like 43 years old, and we're being told she's the old woman on that season. Yeah. Like, I think that Janet and Tom, the way that this is going right now, I think we're going to start to see more characters like that, especially since the general consensus around Janet is that everybody likes her. So, and I'm talking about the community, and I'm talking about on the island. So it shows that, like, yes, there's plenty of gold to get out there. Stop telling me that 43-year-old women are old people. Like, stop telling me Sunday Burquest is ancient, because she's not. And I'm like,
no, she might be an exception.
No, she's not an exception. I mean, Brendan Shapiro was the old man on your season.
No, I know. It was, yeah, not good.
Did you guys watch Big Brother at all? Bradley, do you watch Big Brother? No? Okay. I mean, we had, like, for anyone that watches Big Brother, we had, like, the same thing with Cliff Hogg this past season. And his whole thing was, like, as long as the old person makes it past, like, the first week or, like, you know, the first 2 weeks, then, you know, you're fine and you can make it to the end. And it's the same with Survivor, you know?
Sucks. You've got to make it the first couple weeks and then you're okay.
Yeah, and then you're fine.
You're an acquired taste.
It's true. It's true. And I think that's what, you know, Jason kind of did, where he just was kind of doing the wrong thing. But yeah, I think we see that a lot of the time. I mean, somebody from your season, Bradley, Donathan, he was somebody who started off like in really bad shape on his tribe, and then he was able to just kind of work his way in and go deep. So I think that that helps. Who's your number 9, Bradley?
My number 9 is Tom. I don't think he's playing a fantastic game. He's exactly on the outs. I'm skeptical as to how much he was actually a target in this vote. With the girls, I feel like he's less of a threat because he's playing an older game, playing the game where he wants to be the father figure. So I think he's right there in the middle. I could see him going far. I could see him going home next week.
Okay. I like that. I'm just realizing I don't have Tom in my rankings, but I don't know who doubled up.
You were giving me so much crap for forgetting somebody, and now you forgot somebody.
I doubled up.
I just want to say my list is complete and has no errors.
Oh, you know what? I put Karishma twice.
I mean, she is so good. You want to put her twice.
Tom is my number 10. I had Elaine at 9, and then Tom is my number 10. I agree with you. I think Tom is in a very good spot. I think last week was his week to go, if he was going to go. And I was kind of buying what they were selling. Did you buy it, Bradley? I know I keep looking at you away from the camera. But
did you buy that Tom was going to go home?
Yeah.
No.
You're better at watching the show than I am.
Better at getting on it too.
You are Well, you know, but no, I thought that Tom last week, it was set up where he could have possibly gone home. Like, they were talking about splitting the votes.
Another comment we need to put up on screen.
No, we're not gonna put that one up on screen. That one's okay. If you can figure out how to click it.
Wait, I don't think I have that choice.
You don't have that power.
You don't
Yeah. But I just think, I think like Tom now can cruise, because I think that Aaron or Dean go, if they go for a man, it's Aaron or Dean. If they go for a woman, I think it's Karishma. Tom is now not on anybody's radar. He has good relationships with Elaine. He's got a good relationship with Elizabeth, like we saw last week. I think he's got a lot of people he can work with. And especially since we haven't heard from Elaine since episode one and Vince just went home, Tom's kind of the only person from that original trio that we know anything about recently that we've been keeping up with to see like what's going on with him. So I feel like Tom's in a pretty good spot. And thankfully I remembered to put his name and it was all my own and I didn't need any extra help or reminders at all. I put it up there for you. Go ahead, read it out. Say who said it and read it out, Bradley.
I think the viewers are smart enough they can read.
No, but if it's, they're listening on iTunes or Spotify, they can't.
Oh, yeah. So someone says, so they panned Bradley for not completing his ranking.
Someone says.
It's Gamer Girl, dude. Say the name.
Gamer Girl.
Yes.
Okay, Gamer Girl says. So they panned Bradley for not completing his rankings in time, but Phil did not finish his SMH. I'm over here SMHing too.
Mm-hmm. I can actually witness. Much. I can see it. Yeah.
So much.
Okay. Even if you were at your house, you could still see it. It's
that's a fact. That's a damn fact. All right, who's your number nine, intern?
Number nine, I have Aaron. I think Aaron, like, he didn't get votes last Tribal Council, so even though he wasn't on the right side of the votes in the first episode, what are you guys nodding at each other?
Just whispering.
That's a hot take.
We're questioning why we let you on this podcast for such a bad ranking.
Well, I don't know. I've had some pretty bad rankings already and keep coming back.
Aaron, all right, let's hear your take on Aaron, because what we're saying to each other right now is that we can't believe you just put Aaron in the top 10.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, he had a bad first episode, and he obviously was on, like, the right side of the votes this past episode. And, you know, if they were keeping him for his strength, you know, he should be good in challenges. And if they were going to get rid of someone strong, they would have gotten rid of Tom last week. So I think that there are a number of other threats on this tribe outside of Aaron, or maybe not threats, but people they want to vote out.
Right.
All right, tear me apart. Go.
He's irrelevant.
He's irrelevant.
Irrelevant. You can be irrelevant.
The guy who goes home. I think he's the guy who goes
home.
When?
If a guy goes home from Lyra, I think it's Aaron.
Yeah.
Convince me otherwise, intern. You didn't do it yet.
I could also see it being Dean though. If you're gonna showmans.
That's true.
He's on that tribe, right?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden Dean could go. Is that what you're thinking then?
I mean, it's Dean or like Tom got votes last week. So why would Tom not get votes next week?
Well, I think the only vote he got was from Vance. He only got one vote.
I mean, it's more than zero.
It's a fact. We are now the math specialists.
Wow. The Survivor math specialists.
All right. I mean, putting Aaron that high, that's a risky move for somebody who's already got 15 points only, which I was able to achieve the first week. So that's a tough
You know how in Hearts, like if you get all of the points, you actually win? That's what I'm going for.
Yeah, you're trying to shoot the moon. All right. Yeah. All right, I buy it. You guys gotta do your number 10s because I already did Tom as my 10.
You go, Bradley.
Jason. We already talked about Jason.
You're taking my take. No, you didn't have Jason before. I saw you change that.
Made no corrections.
He has made no corrections. I just wanted to say that he took my take.
So I think for the same reason, sorry, I keep getting distracted by this group chat. This is better when I can't keep it up on the screen at the same time. We already talked about Jason. I think that's, we've covered it.
Who are you feeling? So since I feel like Jason's getting this underdog, go deep, David Wright, Nick Wilson, something like that.
I disagree with that part.
Well, who do you think is being set up to win this season? That's the question I was going to ask you. You think Tommy?
Yeah, he's been irrelevant so far, but still somehow has been strategic.
Yeah.
Strategic irrelevance.
Yeah. And they're giving him the credit instead of
strategery.
Irrelevant strategery.
Strategery. Ooh.
Somebody,
is that what they teach you in law school? Strategery?
Yeah, they don't teach you anything in law school.
Ooh. Hot take.
Yeah. So you're thinking Tommy, even though you think it's the season of the women.
Well, what woman do you see winning? I think there's, possibly
Missy,
three?
Missy, Kelly.
Missy, Kelly, or Chelsea?
Missy, Kelly, Chelsea. Elaine, I think Lauren Janet, outside
Lauren,
shot.
Lauren could, yeah.
Yeah.
Nora?
He just had – okay, so here's the other thing. Survivor winners are, for the most part, boring, bland, humble, like middle American people. Okay. And what is Tommy? He's a fourth grade teacher. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. He's nice. Nice tends to win you Survivor. Yeah.
That could, I mean, that could be true. I don't think Tommy's boring by any means, you know? I mean, that's just, well, yeah, obviously, that's, this is a Bradley like take. I do go to the gym, and this is what I look like. Look at these arms, man. I'm bigger than Tommy. So me and Tommy are going to arm wrestle one of these days, and I'm going to win. You're all going to be like, whoa, how did that happen?
Wow.
That's the pure test of strength. Whoa. That's the only way to know who's actually strong.
Hopefully one of you beats the other really quick, otherwise you guys will get a sunburn.
Yeah, I know. this light over here is about to burn me.
You guys were in the dark. How did you get sunburned?
I don't
That's
know.
That's how it works, man.
Oh, look, Josh R. is a legend.
Where's Josh R.? I honestly can't wait to see Bradley back on Survivor, one of my favorite players. Oh, I didn't click the right one, did I? Here we go. So Josh R., is Josh R. one of your best friends? Did you pay him to come into the chat and say that?
Because he's obviously not American, so he's got that dry, either British or like Australian humor about him, because he's spelling favorite the better way.
Ah, yes, with the pointless U. Those are my favorites.
You're right.
Yes.
Very fun.
There you go. Sure. This guy, I like this one.
You're done with your 10s. Can I go to 11?
No, he didn't do his 10 yet. Give him his
time. Yeah, give me my time, Bradley. Chill. 10, I have Jason. Yeah, I agree with everything we've said about Jason already.
I had a sense we could just skip him, and I was right.
Wow. Your spidey sense?
Yeah, or just sense for you were just going to pick another person I just picked.
Common sense.
I have my number 11. I'm going to do my number 11 instead of Bradley doing his, because I can tell he's itching to go. So I'm going to go. I have Jack.
Me too.
Wow. Twins. All right. So what's your take on Jack then? And we can maybe talk this out.
So my take on Jack is that he was on the outs for sure, but I think he's also just, we got a confessional for him that he was out to have fun. He decided to go on Survivor because he wasn't ready for a job yet. And I feel like those kind of people are a lot of fun to live on the beach with, which helps you last longer. He also just seems like he's kind of clueless, which helps. So I think he's just like in a perfectly okay position. I don't see him taking control ever. So I think his longevity is going to be linked to how well he can place himself within alliances.
And you're feeling Jack because he's just that guy. I just want to play Survivor. He's got that Sebastian thing. He's never going to win this game, though. Not this season.
Yeah, what's interesting, though, is I happen to know that he's a smart guy, right? So he went to UVA, and he's getting his master's degree. So it's interesting that he seems like such a stoner bro. But he is coming across that way. Maybe they're just editing him into an archetype, but he just doesn't seem like he has any strategic chops to drive the car. I can totally see him riding in the car that makes it a long way, but someone else is going to be driving.
Yeah. I agree with that. There you go.
I love some passengers, man. Right there. Yeah. Thanks, Survivor.
I didn't hear a word you said. Sorry, you broke up. Say it again.
Pilots and passengers, right? That's what they were saying.
That's it.
Yeah.
Why are you letting Bradley rip you apart like this, Robert? Don't let him give you this shit. You got to hit him back.
Wait, his name's Robert?
It says it on the screen.
I thought your name was pre-merger.
Oh, your name is covered up by, it says your mic is muted, so I can't actually see who you are.
Oh, gotcha.
See, because I'm muted because I've got Phil's mic.
He's using my mic. That's why I sound like crap, because Bradley's so soft-spoken.
Sound like crap. Your video quality is crap. It just...
But I'm not crap. That's what's important at the end of the day. What's your number 11 there, intern?
Number 11 here, I have Lauren. I think she's doing fine, but we didn't see much from her. We didn't see her recover from her being a really big target. I mean, not like a big target, but like make a name for herself in episode 2. So like, I don't know. I think everyone else is doing better. So that's why I have her down here.
You put Lauren behind Aaron.
Yeah.
You're feeling good about that?
No, I mean, I'm realizing now it was a mistake, but you know, I've already said it. I can't
right away.
Yeah, I can't back out now.
Well, it's gonna be great when Aaron goes on to like win this season, and you can just call Bradley, and I'll give you his number. You can just be like,
"Oh, please do. That would be so funny,
Bradley."
Bradley would not respond or text back, but you know, can't stop me from trying.
You sent me a friend request on Facebook and I accepted it.
But yeah, but that's because we were in person and Phil was there.
I was there. It was back.
True.
It was the social pressure.
I accept friend requests from people I've met in real life.
Yeah, very true.
Even though I don't post anything on there.
No. You still haven't liked any of my Instagram photos.
Yeah.
I'm going to let that one hang in the air, Bradley. That's
ouch.
Is your Instagram protected or is it open for everyone?
You followed it.
No, I know, but I'm asking for everyone else to go look at it.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I think it's open. People want to go.
Oh, I think if people just go look at it, they'll understand.
I like your photos.
Oh,
where's the back and forth?
My photos are good, though.
Are they?
My photos are good.
It's a lot of sailing.
Bradley, you were on.
Who cares about sailing? It's just a boat on water.
How come Lauren O'Connell gets like 10K likes on every photo? You get like 107.
This is something, intern. I feel like we should digress for a moment. Why is Phil so obsessed with Lauren?
I don't know, man. It's been for months.
We were watching the premiere
of
this season, and whoever got voted out first got voted out. And she said, "Wait, they're not going to the edge of extinction." She has no clue. She's not.
Great.
Everybody always went to the edge of extinction. It's.
I mean, yeah. Obviously, there's something missing. You know.
Yeah, like brain cells, possibly.
Wow! Wow! Wow!
It could be the cosmetics are covering them up, like leaching. You know.
I'm not even going to say anything. I'm just going to let everybody else talk. This is the only one who complimented her. but I'm going to let everybody else talk. Bradley with his hot tip. Bradley was just mad because Lauren wouldn't talk to him. That's what he's mad about.
Yeah,
Lauren ignored him.
She's not super nice.
She
ignored you too.
No, she didn't. That's a blatant lie.
She does not like you.
Blatant lie. We'll see what's going on. Lauren is our next guest next week. actually not. But she's our next guest next week.
Yeah, good luck booking her.
Yeah, we'll never be able to do it.
Yeah.
We'll never. Okay, so intern, when we book Lauren, can you call Bradley?
Yeah, I'll call Bradley.
Thank you.
I can do it.
Yeah, okay.
Deal.
Someone just said if Extinction Island was on Ghost Island, who would likely come back from the pre-merge? I feel like I'd like to answer that question. Because there were a lot of people on that pre-merge that were absolute shit at challenges, such as Jacob, Brendan Shapiro, James Lim. Stephanie was no good at challenges, so I think it would have been Morgan, unless it was a puzzle, and then it could have been me.
Mm-hmm. What if it was a swimming challenge, James? No.
Dive down. Anyone that can dive down 5 feet can come back into the game.
James. I love this. Thank you. This is the guy who said he loves you. Two podcasts in the same week, Monsieur Tyrell. I love Bradley, but I will not tolerate disrespecting Lauren O'Connell.
Listen, it's interesting. You can look at how someone is on TV, right? And that's an edited environment. And then you can see people in real life. And there's definitely a difference. If there's one thing I've learned being a fan and then being on the show, it's that nobody is exactly who they appear to be on TV for the most part. And so that's just my hot take, seeing her a few times at Survivor events. Not super friendly to anyone.
Really. I totally disagree, man. Totally disagree.
I have not met Lauren, so I'm just going to assume she's friendly.
She's great.
Yeah, Gamer Girl, I'm roasting everyone on this podcast because that other podcast I was on, I behaved.
Yeah, I love that. I love hearing you start the views expressed in this podcast are their own, or what's the thing? You're a lawyer. What am I supposed to say here? That they're not my views. It's all Bradley. They don't necessarily
likes do not equal endorsement.
Yeah, something like that. Like I don't actually like what Bradley is saying right now. It's bothering me. It's making me angry. I'm about to jump over there, but
all Bradley's opinions are his.
All Bradley's opinions, and they're all bad.
Do not reflect the podcast.
Okay, moving on.
Let's get back to this. Yeah, let's get back to 12.
For number 12, I have Aaron.
You have him three spots lower than intern. You gave him that much shit.
It was funny.
Good times. We don't know a whole lot about him besides that he's kind of low. On the totem pole, I don't know. He seems quiet, but on the bottom, not a great place to be. because he's exactly the kind of person that you feel like you start getting confessionals from and then they go home. That's my guess.
Yeah, I mean, we've gotten some from him already this season, so I don't know what – I don't know how far he's going to go. I feel like he should go early, but he's been getting stuff pretty much every week, which is very weird. So I don't know. I can't get a good read on Aaron, although I think that intern's read on Aaron is way too high. I'm thinking yours is still too high because I haven't said his name yet. But my number 12 is Dan. Dan?
Okay.
I think that Dan is just being set up for this entire season to just be the Dan doing
– The Dan.
Dan having a bad time.
Yeah, I mean, I think, it depends on your philosophy behind the rankings. Are you solely ranking who's most likely to go home next week, or are you balancing that with who's playing a good game and who seems like they're going to go far while also who would go home next week? And I think that determines whether you rank Dan in the top half of the bottom half or if you rank him in the bottom half of the bottom half.
Mm.
That is somewhere in there, especially since like 17, so there is no half.
Someone's drawing out a visual of what Bradley said to understand it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Number 12. I also have Dan. Okay. For exactly the reasons that we just said. So I don't have any more commentary on that.
Poor Dan.
All right. My number 13 is Bradley.
Bradley.
Yeah, it's the Bradley of this season. It's Dean Kowalski. We didn't hear from him for 2 weeks. We finally start to hear from him a little bit. It's not exactly the most positive stuff. It's being set up a little bit for a downfall. He quoted himself, which is always awesome. I love that. I'm a big fan of that. That's almost as cool as saying you're playing A-plus Survivor. You always want to do that as much.
No. Saying you're playing A-plus Survivor is definitely better.
Obviously. But Dean was in this episode. Now Dean is going to get into a showmance. I think he's in so much trouble. I think he's our last boot before the merge. I really do. I don't know, but it just feels like he's going to end up going home right before the merge. You're not going to want to keep a guy like that around post-merge. Not that he can really win challenges, but I don't know. Is he likable? It doesn't seem like he's bothering anybody. It just seems like he's there.
We don't know enough about Dean to have really an idea of where he stacks up in the game. The content this week was not great. And then you go from getting no content and then you're going to say yes. It seems like a one-way ticket to a trip to Australia.
Yeah, that's what it's feeling like to me. So I'm thinking that I have him at 13 because I do think that he survives this week. I think there's a couple people who would go before him. I think that, you know, bonding with Chelsea, it might rub people the wrong way, but bonding. But him getting in a showmance with Chelsea, I just feel like is not going to hurt him yet. It's kind of what happened with Figgy and Taylor. They were able to get away with it a little bit until there was nowhere else to hide. I think this is a story that's going to come to an end, you know, a little bit
later. Yeah, I mean, we all have to – are they actually going to be showmancing or not?
So
next time on Survivor, blow up, or is this actually
– do you think Chelsea and Dean are good for each other, Bradley?
No.
Okay.
Love Master Bradley.
They're not, at least what the preview shows, being so friendly. Then that's a difficult thing with finding someone on Survivor. You really do. The game is easier to play, I think, if you can find someone else that you're close with, because you need that second opinion that you trust. You have to trust somebody. And if you can find one person that you trust more than anyone else, that is helpful, but you can't take it too far and then get romantically involved.
Have you ever been romantically involved with anybody from your season, Bradley?
No.
Okay.
So I also have Dean at 13. I don't think he's in as much trouble as you guys, though. The showmance is bad, and what he did last episode was bad. But I think it's so bad that they're gonna not think of him as a threat. If he's just gonna mess up and not do good things on Survivor, like, how is he gonna like be a threat to me and vote me out? Like, why don't I want to ally with that person who's not going to make good moves? And then, you know, I can keep under my wing.
Yeah, Chelsea's a little too smart to let it kill her game. But at the same time, you know, you do have to be careful who you're sleeping next to at night, especially who you're not just sleeping next to, but spooning. And just who you're spending all your time with. That was something I wasn't very good at on the show, that I would work on if I was going to do it again, because it sends a direct signal as to what's happening. So I've got Dean in the same spot, 13.
So we all have Dean at spot 13.
It's just like he's not in a good spot, but is he the first one to go home? Probably not.
I agree. Yeah. I love that we all actually have him in that same spot. The way you were all talking, I thought you were all going to put him even lower. I thought that he was about to be your 16 or 17. I mean, let's be honest. Dean is – when we are seeing him, I love it. Like, yeah, I love it.
You know what's really interesting to me is there's always people you meet that have been on the show that are super charismatic, and that usually when they're that charismatic in person, it comes across on TV. And I met Dean a few weeks ago, and Dean was very charismatic in person and very nice and engaging, and it's not coming across on the television at all, I don't think. And that's an interesting disconnect. I think some people play better on TV than they do in real life. Other people play worse, and he definitely doesn't seem like he plays as well on camera as he does in person. It's possible we think of him possibly as more of a joke or not as able to rope people together, but at the end of the day, he's a salesman for YouTube, and he does have some charisma, but it's still not looking good.
Yeah, that's always an interesting thing to look at, because you always have to like weigh like real life versus fake life. Like, Survivor is fake life, and I think a lot of times people get so hung up on like, how did this person possibly get cast? And a lot of time it's like, I mean, there's always going to be somebody who gets out to the island and can't act the way that they thought they were going to be able to act once they're starving or once they're tired or once...
Or even if they do act like that, it just doesn't come across on camera as well as it does in person, because all going through casting, while there's a camera on you, the camera is just so they can remember what you said and the package of video to send to the CEO of CBS, and everybody else is meeting you in person. And so, you know, Jeff is not watching videos of you generally. If you're good enough that you can get past the first 2-minute video hurdle and go to finals and all that stuff, then they're meeting you in person. And so if you can play really well and have great energy in person, sometimes it just does not come across on camera.
Okay. Cool. Well, I have Aaron at 14. So again, lower.
Oh, I'm going to put him last.
I don't think Lyra is going to lose this week. So that's why I don't have him last. I don't think they're going to lose. I think that.
You know why they're not going to lose? Because Aaron is going to help them out.
Because Aaron's good at challenges. I mean, if there was a week to put Aaron at 9, I think this is the week, because I think they're going to win. And I think that this is going to be one of the more even pre-merges that we've ever seen, where it just keeps going back and forth.
Which is awesome.
It's amazing. Yeah, it makes it
so
TV.
Much better, right? Because as soon as you start to have a blowout, they get too afraid that, you know, they don't want, from a viewer standpoint, one tribe to be decimated. And so then they just start swapping you like crazy. And I think the best thing that can happen for people that are playing a good strategic game in Modern Survivor is to have these even back and forth pre-merges, because then you're less likely to be swapped 100 times. And it can help you stay on top, because when you swap so often, while there's definitely a strategy still involved, it becomes more of a game of luck as to who you draw a buff out of the hat with. Because in life and in Survivor, even if you're generally getting along with most people, there are still going to be people you trust more than others, people you would prefer to play the game with more than others. And when you just get swapped constantly, especially when you get swapped from bigger groups to smaller groups and back to bigger groups, and it makes it too hard to – it cheapens the social game you're playing.
Yeah.
You know, because you spend that first week, or in this case, they're getting more time building those relationships with the people you have. And a natural hierarchy is going to form, and then it all goes to shit because you get swapped back up. So it makes it to where there's less. That's why, you know, I think it's easier in Modern Survivor to play not from a position of power. Because if you don't come with a whole gaggle of alliance members, you're in a better spot to flip willy-nilly as things get shaken up. Where if you're playing more old school Survivor, or what this season's appearing to be, more even, so they're not going to swap as often, it's okay if you have a core group of 3 or 4 people that you're super close with, because you're not getting split up all the time.
Yeah. No, I think that's 100% right. I think that, you know, the swaps normally are fun because you get to see other people interact and everything like that. But it's fun from a viewer perspective. It sucks if you're actually out there.
Yeah.
Because it just can totally ruin your game when you weren't doing anything wrong. And I think that's what would happen on this season. I think there's so many good players, and I kind of like that they're letting this play out. Because Island of the Idols is there, we don't really have enough time to get to know new tribes if they were to form. So keep the tribes the way they are. if you're going to keep spending 10 minutes at Island of the Idols, it's way too much time, but at least we're getting to see the relationships really form. And that's always what made Survivor better, was when we could see the relationships form. I mean, this show was based around that core four alliance of, you know, Rudy and Rich being just so opposites, and then Jerry and Colby. Like, it's always about the relationships. And what has started to happen in recent seasons when there's too many swaps is it starts to lose those relationships because we don't actually know. I mean, we don't know if, like, you know, these people are actually getting along on the island or not, because we might have seen three episodes of them and then all of a sudden, like, they swap and somebody goes home. We don't really know why. So I think that this is working out really well. And the fact that it's going back and forth, this might be the most even pre-merge we've had since, I mean, I don't even know. Would it be so wrong? Like, I don't even know what it would be, because when we have two tribes, normally one tribe dominates the other. And it absolutely wasn't Millennials versus Gen X, despite the fact that they went 1-1, because then the Gen Xers lost the next two. So, and really, they almost shouldn't, they shouldn't have even, like, lost or won the 19th place one. So I don't know. I like the way that this is shaping up. I think they're even tribes. And, you know, I have Aaron, like I said, Aaron at 14. You know, Aaron and Dean are on that tribe. They're strong guys. And then you look at the other side and you have, like, Tommy, who's big. And you have, like, who else is on that tribe? Why can't I think of the other guys on that tribe? But thank you. The other guys, Jamal, huge. Jack, great in challenges. They saw him in the first week. So you do have these great, great, like, actual groups, and I think that that's working. And we don't have a situation like the War Dog last season where, like, he's supposed to be strong and he can't throw. Like, we don't have that happening right now, so it's making it a lot better.
I think it also makes it better for the viewers because it's easier to follow. You know, you understand the dynamics and you can begin to understand them better, because the one thing that is the most disheartening, or one of the things that's disheartening about playing the game and then watching it on TV, is how many really close relationships you have that never actually make it on the television. And you're like, oh, we were great allies and we did all this stuff. And then it just doesn't make it on TV. And here you're, I think, losing a whole lot less of the strategic relationships because they've stayed the same now for several episodes. So you can understand the dynamics within a smaller tribe better than you would otherwise.
Yeah.
And it's weird, like, getting, like, past the merge, and it's like, oh, these two people were on the same tribe after the first swap, but then person A and person C were on the same tribe after the second swap. And it's like, who actually keeps track of all those, like, relationships? Like, I don't. I definitely don't. It's too much. And I think, like, not having these swaps makes it easier to remember, like, oh, like, this is how this tribe, like, this is the structure of the tribe, and it's also how the structure of the tribe is changing and how the power is shifting, as opposed to, oh, I guess they got swapped. Time for me to remember the swapped tribes.
Well, and you know, they don't want to have pagongings post-merge, which is always something that happens. But I think that those pagongings happened because you were also putting out leaders for those tribes. You had Coach, yeah, and you had Boston Rob. Stop doing that, and you're going to see, like, this season, if there's no swap and they go into the merge and Jason and Nora are still there, I doubt Jason and Nora aren't going to swap over to the other side at some point. And I doubt Aaron or somebody over there wouldn't swap over. So there's plenty of room to maneuver.
Regardless of that, you have so many advantages and idols in modern day Survivor that could we actually have a pagonging post-merge?
No.
No. Absolutely. I just don't think it would happen that way. I think enough people on the bottom of the totem pole would end up with advantages and idols that they could shake things up.
Yeah. I agree with that. All right, who do you guys have at 14? We're over an hour, so, like, let's talk.
Karishma.
Karishma, okay.
I'm Tom. I think
the fact that Karishma was able to survive this week is a good sign of her making it a little bit longer. I think if she was truly annoying everyone and so much on the outs as it was perceived in the episode, in the edit, that she actually would have gone home. But she didn't. She stayed. So I think she's in a relatively good spot. I think that alliance on Lyro is a good one. I think they're sticking with each other right now.
Yeah, I have Karishma at 15. I, like I said, I think that Vokai is going to lose this week. Karishma would be the girl who goes home if a girl goes home from Lyro. But I don't even necessarily think a girl's going to go home. It's just, it's been weird. That was such a weird scene for just laying on the beach and nobody helping that it makes me feel like what should I feel about her? I don't know. So that's why I have her this low. But yeah. That's it. Well, you had four. You said for 14 intern, you have Tom.
Yeah, I had Tom. I think like he's huge, so he's probably good in challenges. But it was even like getting one vote from Vince. I don't really like that. It still is like a, you know, a red line on his ledger. So that's why I have him so low. I don't think he's going home next week, but I'm a little worried for him. So,
yeah.
And then 15, I have Karishma. I also thought it was weird that Karishma, like, she was on the right side of the votes, but she had the votes split against her. Like, has that?
Yeah, that was often weird, right?
I feel like that doesn't happen a lot. But, like, I mean, she knew she was a threat, and, like, she was aware that when Dean was like, oh, let's split the votes, that the votes were going to be split against her. But at least she was smart enough to, like, stick with the votes and not try to, like, I mean, not that she was really allied with Vince, but, you know, she managed to scrape it by.
All right. Who do you have at 15?
Who do I have? I have Dan at 15. I think Dan is definitely not going to win the game. I think Dan is living the nightmare of everyone that goes on Survivor right now, in that he's the editing punching bag. And I could see him going home, even though I feel like he's not going to go home right away. Because it does, I agree with you. I think you said a little bit earlier, like, they're setting the stage for Dan to kind of continue to be a train wreck, or just lecherous. You know, what's interesting, is it was not great. And now there's been, you know, if you look at the first part about him, rubbing Kelly when she didn't want him to. And then even this week in the challenge, when she was walking by, he kept saying, grab my hand. And it's like, okay, there's a lot of that kind of footage they could put in there from anybody, but they chose to put in Dan's. And so I don't think it bodes well for him. I don't think he's winning. I don't think he's probably not going home, but he isn't. I don't think he's in that great of a spot. And he also, you know, on that tribe, you've got Kelly and Lauren, and you've got Janet and Tommy, and you've kind of got Jason and Nora, and he's just kind of his own entity, I think.
It kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier. Are we doing these power rankings based on just solely who goes home this week or who actually has a chance to win? And, like, right now, Dan kind of feels like the Jets or the Dolphins, where they're just never going to win a football game. So, like, if you were doing power rankings, you would always put him at the bottom. But, like, it's just, like, so you should put him at the bottom because he has no chance of actually winning a Super Bowl this year. You know, like, if you're doing this in terms of sports, yeah, power rankings.
Right.
But, like, there's other people who might just be worse this week. You know, so, like, you keep him up a little bit because I just don't think he's going to go home that early. So, while I agree with you, he has no chance to win. He's not going to go home anytime soon, I don't think. Do you want to put her on the podcast?
No. My mom is calling. Okay, so then
we have this. We all have the same bottom two.
Nora and Jamal.
Nora and Jamal, right?
Nora and Jamal. There we go.
Intern, what order do you have them in?
I have Nora in 16 and Jamal 17.
That's what I have.
See, I'm more intelligent than both of you, and I have Jamal in 16 and Nora in 17.
Isn't it weird how I said mine first and then Bradley followed?
I know. He was just going to do whatever you said. That's what.
Yeah. Well, like I did my list first, right? I filled out my list first.
You did.
Yeah,
that's actually a fact.
Oh, it's definitely a fact. I filled out. We went live.
Why Jamal instead of Nora?
Either one. I think for me, Nora is nutty enough that they're going to keep her. She doesn't seem like she's strategic at all. She's kind of a train wreck, and I think you keep the train wreck. I think Jamal is bad at Survivor, but still kind of trying to strategize. He found himself in that group with Molly and Jack, and I don't think it looks good for him long term.
Intern?
I think Jamal and Nora both are in bad positions, but Jamal is more threatening.
Yeah.
So if they're going to get rid of someone, they're going to get rid of the threat.
Yeah, I have Nora there. Maybe I should change it to what you guys are doing, but I'm not going to, because that is true. I mean, we even had the confessional from Jamal where he's like, I'm going to figure out how to pick up the pieces and do whatever. And, like, that's scary because, like, it shows he's still playing, and Tommy clearly didn't trust him after they went and had a conversation together.
Right, but Tommy also did try to have the conversation, and he's had a confessional saying he wanted to bring Jamal back in the loop. So I don't know, but I don't know. I don't think he's going to make it back in.
Yeah. No, I kind of agree with that. I don't know. I just have Nora because we're just being set up so much with Nora. It's just so over the top.
There's so much great TV though. She's just nuts and this obnoxious.
It's Bradley's favorite kind of player.
Oh, for sure. Hands down. I would have a whole season of them if I could.
Well, we have to do Eliminator.
What is Eliminator?
Eliminator is where you pick one player each week and the team survivor has picked Janet and Chelsea. You have to pick somebody who doesn't go home, but like you're trying to.
I'll pick Kelly.
Okay, nice. See, this is why we always love having Bradley do it, because Bradley takes, like, the safest person.
Isn't that the point, though?
No. So, like, what you're trying to do, because you run out of people as it goes, you only pick each person once, and then as people get voted out, you start to lose them. So, like, you're trying to pick people who will probably – if you're doing a perfect rank, if you're doing a perfect eliminator game right now, your first week pick would have been Molly, and your second week pick would have been Vince, because –
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So, but you're picking Kelly, who you think is going to win. So it's just like, you know, screw you, Team Survivor.
Oh, Survivor is an individual game. I'm not here to play that tribe stuff.
I love it.
So, yeah.
So if you run out of people, do you just lose?
Yeah, you just lose. If you run out, you lose.
Who's yours, Phil?
I'm going to go with. Oh, I didn't have one written down. I'm going to go with Dan. Because I've already done Dean and Karishma, which are the two that I really want to do this week. I was thinking about Aaron, but I don't want to get knocked out this early, so I'm going to go with Dan.
Sweet. Is it time to go to the bar, Phil?
It almost. Well, intern's got to make his.
Well, you know, there are lots of merits to each individual castaway. And I guess if I were to take up more time to prevent Phil and Bradley from going to the bar.
We're on to Urkel's, man.
You're going to Urkel's? Wow, I'm jealous.
Bradley doesn't like it there. He says it's too cheap.
I don't like $2 hot dogs.
That was such a good Bradley.
Definitely don't like $2 hot dogs. Wait, Andrew, you came to Urkel's with us, didn't you?
Yeah, I was there with Will. My eliminator, I'm gonna choose Jason.
You're gonna choose Jason. Okay.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay, so that's it for that week, Bradley. Do you want to throw anything out here before I do this whole like spiel at the end? Do you want to throw any like last words of wisdom? Anything you want to take any last shots at anybody? I mean, anything that people can't protect themselves? Do you want to throw?
I just have any shots at people for me.
Yeah, for you.
I showed uncharacteristic restraint.
Boo.
No, I don't know. I think it's a good season. I think. That's funny, Bougie Bradley.
I love those.
They probably sell cans of White Claw at Urkel's. I feel like they would do that. But, no, I think the season's good. It's been fun. I think the theme is ridiculous. It doesn't feel like real Survivor in that sense, but it's not unentertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little bit worried that the viewer numbers have been so low.
How low have they been?
Six. High fives.
Really?
Yeah. I think we've been losing to the Masked Singer.
Oh, yikes. I didn't realize it was that low.
I think. I could be entirely wrong.
Let's see how wrong or right you are, because now you just put a pit in my stomach, you know? Let me see.
Yeah, by the time you make it on, you're going to get 300.
6.5, 6.2. Yeah, that's not very good.
Not good.
Bradley, are you auditioning for the Masked Singer now?
No.
I mean, they won't know who you are because you're wearing a mask, right?
You'll be fine.
I'm frozen or he's
no,
frozen?
No, intern did.
Oh, intern froze?
Cut out, so I didn't hear what you said to me.
They won't know who you are because you're masked, right? You don't have to lose any pride?
Oh, I'm not worried about losing pride. I went on Survivor and went home pre-merge. What pride do I have left?
None.
not enough to go on Masked Singer, apparently.
No, that would be a fun train wreck, though.
Yeah, we are. They're losing the Masked Singer. It's happening. Oof. Thanks for bringing that up, man. Well, thanks for ruining my night. Thanks for ruining my week.
Yeah.
I just assumed it would be on forever.
It may still be. Man, I'm hungry for some French fries.
We're going to go get some food. All right.
French fries and martinis.
That's disgusting. Bradley, thank you for joining us. Go eat your French fries and martinis. Until next time. Right now, I actually have to figure out who's winning the Power Rankings game for our $20 patrons because we didn't score it. Bradley has a dog here, which is going to distract. You can follow us on Instagram, @SurvivorSpecialist, Twitter, @SurvivorSpecialist. You can go find us on Facebook, Spotify, iTunes. We just hit 6,000, officially hit 6,000 on YouTube. Don't act like Bradley's trying to pretend like he's a nice guy because he has a dog. He just stole this dog. This isn't even his.
From the streets.
Yeah, he stole it from like a child walking your dog. Bradley's just like, mine now. I need to go be a good person and put this on the podcast. But yeah, so we'll be back on Wednesday night. It will be Intern and I, time to be determined. Hopefully we can do it around the same time I did it with Vaughn last week. If not, it will be around midnight Eastern. So Intern's going to have to stay up very, very late.
That's my bedtime.
That's it. Go be a patron.
He's gonna be able to get up keep hanging out. Next morning if it's not late.
He doesn't work yet.
I thought you started Intern.
No, I do have a job.
Years old. Leave him alone.
I'm entering middle school, Bradley.
You, or I think me.
He definitely has a better job than you. I don't know about me.
Hating on the office while I'm here. I opened the doors today for this podcast.
You did.
So we could have reliable Wi-Fi. And
it wasn't that reliable, was it?
Oh, no.
Oh, now I get the puppy.
Now the dog wants
it. That just shows how close Bradley and I are.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a second.
Well, anyway, we will be back on Wednesday. Bradley, thanks so much for coming on. Yeah. We always like having you. Thanks for ruining our relationships with everybody else in the Survivor community.
I think I was only rough with one person, and you never had a shot with her anyway. So,
thanks, man. Appreciate it. We will see you Wednesday.
Ciao.
Bye.
He speaks.